Shavta, the Shem Lakef, Shemat Bekolo, so Pashas Mitzavim, which is really convenient, which is always the Shavta for Rosh Hashanah. So the Pashas Tshuva appears. The Shavta, the Shem Lakef. Whether this is the Pasuk is the Mokah of Mitzvah Tshuva, no, it doesn't focus on the Mokah. But clearly this is describing the Tshuva phenomenon that was a Kaya, so the Shavta, the Shem Lakef, Shemat Bekolo. According to some of the Mefarshim, the Chumash Ramban, the Pesuk immediately following those pasuk, Mitzvah Zois, is also a continuation of the Parashat Tshuva. But it's clear that the Parashat Tshuva appears in the Parashat Tshuva. But it's a little bit of a strange place and context that the Torah decides to present us the Parashat Tshuva. Because the real context of those Pesukim, we're not really talking about Tshuva. The real context of the Pesukim, we're actually talking about Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael, leaving Eretz Yisrael, that was Parshas Kisavo. It's the continuation of the Tokcha. The Sukkah we're now describing, after the whole Tokcha happened, so the following is going to happen. After the Bracha and the Klola, you're going to be thrown out into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be drained in Golos for years, and then B'shalta Hashem L'Kech. So it's a little bit of a funny place to put Tshuva in the context of Golos and Geula. Within these Pesukim, Parshas Nitzavim, is a very, very strange halacha, according to many opinions, is alluded to in these Pesukim. It's actually much like Satanah. We spoke about this way, way back in the first Sukkim of Eretz Yisrael. Many of the Tanoim made the following observation from the simple reading of the Pesukim. Because Baruch Hu promises us that when we get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, we're going to Golos, He's eventually going to bring us back. And the Torah describes that Yarshu Avisecha, you go back to the land that your forefathers inherited, Yerishta, and you're going to inherit it again. You're going to take it up. You're going to live in that land again. So how many times does it use the word Yerusha in there? Twice. So the Gemara in the Sechus Yevamos, in the 8th verse, quotes from Tanoi, Yaisi. The Torah only makes mention of two Yerushas. These Yerusha Rishayna and Yerusha Shmiya. What was Yerusha Rishayna? The days of Yerusha Benun. The first, the Yerusha Avosecha, refers to the Yerusha in the days of Yerusha Benun. Because again, this pasuk is geared towards future generations. I mean, it's given to Moshe Rabbeinu, is giving it to Klal Yisrael now, but it's really speaking to later generations. So the Torah Midbar is listening to these pesukim as a nevuah in the future. So it's the Jews 1,000 years later are reading these pesukim, and the Torah is speaking to them and saying, "Asher Yarsha Vasecha Virishta, that you were Yerush Eretz Yisrael hundreds of years ago in the days of Shulunun, and you can be Zaychazan again." So when was Virishta? When was Virishta fulfilled? Jewish history? Ezra. Right? That was the next time they came back there to Israel by Hashem. So the Pesukim only describe Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra. Those are the only two descriptions in the Pesuk. What's glaringly missing? Because Baruch is already giving us a nevuah of what's going to happen in years to come. There's going to be another Gehals, another Churban. So what about Yosef Lovah? What, there's not going to be Chalila? Yerusha Yosef Lovah? Of course we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Psukim described the Lava, the Vuas loaded. So what's Pshat? Why does the Torah stop? What was Yerusha Yisrael stop in the days of Ezra? So Ezra Yerushi say, never remember the Drasha? Yerusha Yisrael Shnei Yeshlam. Yerusha Shnei Yeshlam. What does that mean? The Torah is alluding to the following. That in the world of Halacha, Yerusha of Yeshua was a Yerusha, was a Kedusha, was a Makadish of Eretz Yisrael. And when they went into Golos, Bais Rishon, Chumim Bais Rishon, that Kedusha was dissipated, that was abolished, that was this batla. When they came back in the days of Ezra, they were re-Makadish Eretz Yisrael. When we come back to Yosef Lavo, we're not going to do that. You know why? There's no need to be re-Makadish. Whatever Kiddush means, we're not exactly sure what the process is, but whatever procedure is done to be Makadish Eretz Yisrael will not be done in the Yosef Mashiach. You know why? Because there's no need to do it. Why? Because Kedusha Shmiya is what? Kitchel Shaita, Kitchel Asa Lomay. So Kedusha Rishona was this Bafla, and Kedusha Shniya is Kayemis. Now, if you want to understand conceptually, philosophically, why that's true, so yeah, we could discuss it another time, another place. We're going to talk about that a little bit now, but different reasons as to why that phenomenon is true. But the Maisa, that's the phenomenon. And that's the view of the Rambam, and that's the way we most probably pass in Shulchan Aruch, that Eretz Yisrael is the full-fledged Kedushas of Allah Mitzvah Torah B'Zman Hazeh. And the only reason why some of the Mitzvah Tulis B'Aretz don't apply B'Zman Torah today are courts. They're not because there's a Chesed in the Kedusha. You know why there's no Truma today? Who remembers why? Why is there no Truma today in the Torah? Because Kulchem the Rambam says, we don't have most of Klai Yisrael. Okay. And why is there no Shemitah in the Torah today? Why? Because you don't have Kol Yashveleh, you don't have Yayveleh. Everyone, this reason, that reason, but the Ikaron, the Rambam Paskin said, by Rover Shoyim Paskin, Kedusha Rishon is as follows, Kedusha Shni is Kayemus. And that's what this Pasuk is talking about. That's the significance of why the Torah doesn't make mention of the third Yerusha, because if he did, there will not be a third Kedusha, because the third Kedusha is unnecessary, it's superfluous, because the second Kedusha never disappeared. That's a many, many Rishonim Paskin. That's an amazing message, the Machshava. Because if you think about it, Kedusha Shniya was so shvach. Look at Kedusha Shniya in contrast to Kedusha Rishonis. How did Kedusha Rishonis take place? Marching at the home of the troops. They come in into Yericho. What happens? The walls come tumbling down, blowing the shofar. Kriyas HaYardei, they come in, Michal Tekef. A little bit of a setback at Ai, but as soon as we got over that, boom, Shemesh Megivon Dom, and we're conquering 31 kings, and say for Yeshua, and wow, unbelievable. Hashras HaShechina, the Talmud of Mesh Rabbeinu, Pnei Meshach, Pnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua, Pnei Levona, it's unbelievable what's going on. We have Aces Chavul Aretz, Kedusha Mishaynes, Gemon Neir Ve'ayim. Nebuchadnezzar pops the balloon, never to be heard of again. Kedusha Rishon is gone, dustbin of history. Comes Kedusha Shniya, schleps of 40,000 people. Rubi the Rubi Chai Yisrael never even came. They missed the boat, didn't show up. 40,000 people. I don't know, you read the Mishnah, it's the enemy of Kedusha, you had Kalolim, you had Shushachorim, you had Mamzerim, you had Asufi. Esther, Yuchsen only, Bavel, they weren't IAI, that one was the greatest of the greatest. They come in, come back there to Israel, one disaster after another. They get in the fight with the Kusi, they get in the fight with the Persian government, the Tachashverisha stops the binyan, stops the binyan, stops the binyan, stops the binyan, stops the binyan. They finally get the whole Beis HaMikdash running, and the old timers who saw the last Beis HaMikdash, what did they say? Those are Beis HaMikdash. Sukkim described in Navi Chagai that the old timers were crying when they were mechanic to sit on Beis HaMikdash because they remembered what the first Beis HaMikdash looked like. Many, many years later, until they finally were able to redo the second Beis HaMikdash, that they give it the cover that it so deserved. And yet, that Yishuv, Yerusha Shmina, that had nothing. It had no Ashras HaShechina to any degree. It had no Nevuah. Chag Yizchar Nachim, the first generation, just to show where the Beis HaMikdash was, and then they disappeared in history. No Nevuah, no Shechina, no Urim V'Tumim, no Aram. No political autonomy, except for a couple of years of Cheshbonaim in the middle. They were under the Greeks and under the Romans, under the Persians. It was garnished, nothing. And that Kiddush is still enough. 2,500 years later, that's still good to go. It's Kiddush Mitaraisa. Very, very strange model. Do we have Ka'im, such a model? That first shot, really, really good. A lot of fanfare. Looks like it's going to work. And then it gets popped. And the second one is so schwach. And it lasts. I'm going to see the same exact model. First, Kabbalah Torah. In case you don't remember, you better remember my Monday's Davi and Musa. Cholam Roim is a Kailas of Slapidim, Vayakal Meinu, Vayakal Meinu, Vayakal Meinu, Vayakal Meinu, Vayakal Meinu, Vayakal Meinu, unbelievable, Matan Torah. Vayakal Meinu. cooked an eagle. 40 days later, popped the balloon, it's gone. Never to be heard of again. What's left of Luchas Rishonis? Shivrei Luchas. A lot of broken stones. Nothing to speak of. What happened to the Lamed Vedim Sheikhim? What happened to all the different Torah that were written on the first Luchas that were all encompassed in it? Gone. Luchas Shnias. There were no Kailas. There was no Brokim. There was no Kol Shofar. Moshe Rabbeinu schleps the Chal to Har Sinai on his own. Baruch Hu hands him the seven Luchas, says, go down and go teach my children Torah again. Those luchos are still around. I mean, literally somewhere in the world, the luchos in the Yaradah. But figuratively, the different Torah of Luchos Shnias is still here. We're learning the Torah about that right now that accompanied the Luchos Shnias. So, how do you understand this phenomenon? Somebody once gave a good moshe. He said that Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael is like Luchas Rishonis. Shana Bet is like Luchas Shnias. You know, Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael did a lot of fame for a lot of excitement. Every kumzitz, every tish, every tiyul, every everything, you know, it's a rah-rah, you know, everything is new and fresh. See, in my day, when you mention Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael, for many of them, many boys, it was their first time ever in Eretz Yisrael. Believe it or not, a lot of people did not drop their Eretz Yisrael 6 times a year like they do today. So many, many people have never been there as well. Even if they're at the Kaishi, when you're once, twice, maximum, nobody went. Who went there? It's a young back in my days. It's unheard of. It's just like Kol didn't exist yet. No Israel. There was a summer Israel probably. I didn't mind who went there. It's all for the summer. It was crazy. So there was such an excitement. Coming there for the first time. And the Kaishi, the second time in their life. So that part is probably... doesn't exist anymore in today's world of Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael. Seeing that for most boys, it's already the 18th time that they've been in Eretz Yisrael. But still, there's still that excitement of being yeshiva, first time really, really in yeshiva. The time Shana Bet rolls around. It's not as exciting. Tishta not as exciting. I know the songs already. You know, these little toned down. And yet, we all know that what really lasts in life, usually in life, it's the things that come without that whole balloon at the beginning, not that event, you know, or the fanfare and the Kelos HaBrachim at the beginning. It's usually the things that come through hard work. When you're in the Shana Bet mode, and you know that some of that excitement is beginning to wane, and you still come to Bismarck, and you still come to Seder, and you still come to Shir, and still work your Sugya. That's ultimately what lasts for you. So Bayis Rishon, Kibush Rishon, is very easy to cause you. There was no sweat off anyone's back. Yeshua was leading them in the army, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knocking down the walls of Yericho, and shofars were blowing, and kings were collapsing, and it was a breeze. It lasted for a couple hundred years. Bayisheni, maybe it was lacking in the Nevuahs and the strength. You know what Bayisheni had that Bayisrishon didn't have? It had blood, sweat, and tears. It was hard. It wasn't so poshut. He had enemies on the outside and enemies on the inside. He had Mesiris Nefesh. And something that was accomplished in Mesiris Nefesh lasts forever and ever and ever. And perhaps that's why Dafka, this parasha, this Rishoni, this Shniya, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Chachmas to put the parasha of Tshuva. Because in Adam Kainim Shechota, so before a person does a chait, everything's great, and he feels great about himself. He does his mitzvahs. You know, it's not all that hard. And then he falls. And now he fails. He's got to go and pick himself up. He's got to go back and start over again. And he feels bad. And he feels low about himself. And he comes to question, can I really do it? And he doesn't have that Hashura Sashchina. He doesn't have his Kol Sabrakim. He's got to really, the truth is not easy. He's got to work hard. And he does that work. And he makes the mamatz, and he's chayim b'tshuva, and he may not be able to necessarily build up that, but it was pre-chayt, but whatever he did accomplish, he accomplished with Mesiris Nefesh, with blood, sweat, and tears, that's going to last. And that Avedis Hashem that a person reaches through difficulty to the Sis Nefesh, that's Kedusha Shnir. That Kedusha is Kayyam Salva. That Kedusha will withstand 2,000 years of Golos and Korban. And a Chazar B'Tshuva, an Avedis Hashem that came about through a Chazar B'Tshuva, no winds of Golos and Korban can ever destroy that. So, by side, many of us in this room, all of us in this room, we're not Shana Aleph anymore in Eretz Yisrael. We're not Shana Bet. Many of us are in the life Shana Gimel and beyond. Nobody should take this statement out of context, but the Shuras Hashchina, I think everyone would agree, Washington Heights is just not quite the Shuras Hashchina of, I don't know, Kotel, Shabim, Tim, Sarah, and Kermiyam. I'm trying to remember all the different yeshivas guys said they were at the other day. It's not the same thing. Anyway, the Heights. It's okay. You know, it's just not the same. It's just fine. What can you do? It's just not the same. And yes, to Baruch Hashem, we have a wonderful Bris Medrash. There's a lot of learning. It's true, 100%. No question about it. But ain't a day, man. You're learning 3 stars a day from morning to night. There's nothing else on your plate. Nothing else. There's no deadline. There's no midterm. There's no final. There's no paper. I'm just kulo Torah, Molly, the Godish. All I do is Torah, more Torah. You know. I mean, again, you know, the 820 minute and more is nice, but, you know, it's, I don't want to knock anything down by the breath. I tried to daven. Some of you may have wondered why I was davening. Some of you may have noticed I davened in Shiva a couple of days this week. Nobody knows. Nobody cared. Okay. I was trying to figure out the different cheshbanis to beat traffic. So they all failed. So I went back to my shul today. But I'll try again next week. So it gets beautiful. Davening, Baruch Hashem. A lot of Torah. People davening. You know, I mean, it's not. No, I don't have to say more. No, I think you understand. And yet, you, Bacher, or when you're Shana Gimel and beyond of life, or you found out from early this week what year everyone's up to, those who are Shana Dalet, Shana Bey, Shana Vav, Shana Mem Aleph, whatever year in life you're up to, you're kind of like, you've been there, done that, and we're still Moshe Nefesh come to Beis Medrash at 9 o'clock, as close to 9 o'clock as we can. And we're still Moshe Nefesh to learn through 2 stars a day, and we're still Moshe Nefesh to come to Davening. And we're still Moshe Nefesh to work in our mitzvahs and work in our tshuva and work in our Vedas Hashem, even though it's not always necessarily the most optimal conditions to do so, and we still push ourselves to do it. This is going to last. I'll tell you a secret, that your lives, unless you're planning on, you know, jumping ship and, you know, sitting in Kollel, you know, to maybe have some Shana. Your lives are most probably going to resemble closer the model of what's taking place these years than the model of what took place in years in Eretz Yisrael. If you matzliach now, you are setting the groundwork for a successful life in a Eretz Yisrael. So these are the years. This is the crucible of your existence. This is what's going to make or break whether you have a kedusha shniya that's going to last at every point. So give everybody a bracha up and coming here with Hashem. Take all the Baruch Hashem we have. This year we had something that we don't always get. Actually, we very rarely get. We will Mitzliach this year. And probably the most important thing we could do was what? We had, what do we have together, by say? We had a Chodesh Elul together. We mom had a Chodesh Elul. We beat the yeshivas. We had a Chodesh Elul plus. We started the last week and a half. We've been learning longer than any yeshiva on the planet. Let's say that in December, January, okay, you know, in May, June, I'm going to lose a little bit down the line. But we had it. Basically, we had 5 solid weeks, and then the first week of Tishrei, a full Zman continues until Erev Yom Kippur. So please, those who are able to be with us live, in person. What?
Is
this Shiva Yom
Kippur also?
Is Shiva Yom Kippur?
Yeah, it's called classic.
What? No. No, there's the Sukkot, no?
The day
after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Sukkot, that's class.
Yeah.
And so the day October, are you sure?
That's the Shia.
Anyway, you can cross that. Okay, the divya chizuk is over. Let's just be revived and schedule. Turn off. We are, and over.